Take your Bible tonight, if you will, to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 12. Open your Bible to Revelation chapter 12. We're going to continue looking at those things that are help us to prepare to get ready to leave this old world, all right? And so we want to look at the things that are coming. And like I say, somebody asked me the other day, said, are you studying Revelation? I said, well, not really. We're just trying to take a look at some of the events that are coming down the way, and we're just trying to look at them, and we're not going to cover every little event, okay? We're not going to cover every trumpet and every vial, and we're not going to do that, all right? That's not the purpose, what we're trying to do here on Wednesday night. But I do want to be a blessing to you. Revelation chapter 12, if you will, look in verse 13. And the Bible says, and when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. Yep. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time, right, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So what we're going to look at tonight is the conversion of Israel, all right? That's what we're looking at. We live in a time that a lot of people don't understand, but I've dug out these two maps of Israel, and it was amazing to me how hard it was to find this map, all right? So, well, what's the difference? Well, look at it, all right? Now, I realize it's not maybe the sharpest image you've ever seen, but on almost every map I look at and find of modern Israel, you've got this kind of thing, this kind of thing, and that separated from Israel. You can't see it, right? Well, that's all right. Sit closer next time. I've always tried to tell you, sit up front, you know? Turn the lights off. Well, then we have the problem of you not being able to read your Bible. I don't know if there's a cure for in the long term, but all right, there you go. That'll work. But the main thing I want you to see is what it is. Notice the title right here, Israel and the Occupied Territory.
That's exactly what it is.
Okay? Israel and the Occupied Territories. This map just shows you the outline of Israel, okay? Just gives us an outline of the state of Israel. Nothing about an occupied territory, all right?
Amen.
Hey, listen, those occupied territories are Israel.
Right.
They belong to the nation of Israel.
Yes, sir.
Now, they were taken back in 1968 or 67 in the Six-Day War, all right?
Right.
Hey, you know, there's been a long-standing tradition, I call it tradition, long-standing truth, to the victor go the spoils.
Yeah.
All right?
Amen.
And in the first place, God gave Israel this land,
yes, sir,
every bit and a whole lot more, okay?
Oh, yeah.
The truth of the matter,
amen,
is some of these countries over here, like Jordan and Syria and Lebanon,
yes, sir, come on.
Jordan here and Syria and Lebanon, and they're camping out on Israel's property,
that's
okay?
Right.
And the Lord's going to see to it they get it, but right now, you know, the whole world, there's a problem. If there is one truth, though, if there's one truth that Bible believers should have firmly established in their mind and in their heart, is the fact that Satan hates the nation of Israel.
Yes, sir.
Satan absolutely hates the nation of Israel. Now, the truth of the matter is, in his mind, he's got good reason to hate Israel, all right? Because I'll remind you, it was Israel that gave us Savior.
Amen.
It was Israel that gave us a Savior. A salvation, the Bible says, is of the Jews.
That's right.
And if there's not another Savior besides that Jewish Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only did Israel give us a Savior, Israel also gave us an absolutely incredible book.
Amen. Yes, sir.
gave us an incredible book. That Bible you've got there, everyone who wrote a book, and part of that, every one of them were Israeli. They were Jews, okay? They were Jews. God used them to write the book, all right? Hey, by the way, that's a good, easy way to tell if God had it part of the Scriptures or not. If it wasn't written by a Jew, it ain't supposed to be in this book, all right? It's just not supposed to be, and there's a lot of argument today, you know, well, with some people, and they think there's some books supposed to be there that aren't. But hey, so Satan hates Israel. Satan hates them because it gave us a Savior, gave us an incredible book, and it also, God promised the world to Israel. God promised the world to Israel, okay? Now, the devil doesn't like that because he is the God of this world.
Oh, yes.
He doesn't like that, and the thought of anybody else having it doesn't make him happy, all right? So the fact that Satan hates Israel is not an unknown thing. The sad thing, though, is this. The nation of Israel is despised in this world. That's why that map I showed you up there, almost every map you see, it always says Israel in the occupied territory. Because the world just has got it in for Israel, all right? Down through history, no people, no nation have been so mistreated as has the Jewish nation and the Jewish people. Now, relax, we're not going to go through all the instances, all right? But we don't have time, all right? We don't have time to do it, but let me say this to you. At various times, Jewish people were banned from England. They've been banned from France. They've been banned totally from Spain. Now, I mean, they had to leave the country. If they lived in those countries, they passed law and they had to leave, all right, down through history. And not only that, there's been a lot of instances where they weren't banned from the country, but, man, their possessions were taken away from them. It was made it very hard for them to live in other countries, not just these countries, okay? And of course, obviously, we think of Germany in World War II, but I want to tell you, I just finished reading, a couple weeks ago now, the history of the Holocaust, and 600 and some odd pages, and I found out a lot of things I didn't know. One, I found out Germany had a lot of help in World War II. It wasn't just Germans killing the Jews, all right? I'll give you some instances. Man, there was a lot of Ukrainians that killed Jews. A lot of Ukrainians killed Jews, all right, back in that time. Polish, they were hunted in the Polish lands, all right, in Poland and other places in the world. Germany had a lot of help, okay? Now, Germany led the charge, but they had a lot of help, okay? The sad thing is, though, the United Nations still despises the nation of Israel. You, if you pay any attention, you hear oftentimes that the United Nations will condemn something Israel does. All right? Usually it has to do with Israel defending themselves. And we sit in the United States, we don't hear a lot about this, but we've got missionaries that work, and I'm not going to name them, all right, but we've got missionaries that work in that land, and they've been there when the rockets are launched against Israel out of just indiscriminately. They're not aimed, really. They're cheap. They're shot wherever they land. If it kills somebody, great. That's the view of the person sending the rocket in. But we don't hear about it over here. We don't hear about anything to do with that over here, all right? But it's still going on. But when Israel gets to a point and they get fed up and they retaliate, the UN votes to sanction Israel. They never do work against the others. I'm just saying to you, hey, the nations of this world have despised Israel too, all right? But I want to say this to you. God's not done with them. God is not done with them. Now, I put that in there because there's a lot of so-called Christian ministries that are teaching and preaching that God is done with the Jew. I think part of that is called replacement theology. All right? Hey, that replacement theology is heretical. It is heresy. It is a teaching that the church has replaced Israel, and now the church is receptive of all the promises that were given to Israel, and now they're going to belong to the church. That is not true, okay? That's not true. Now, we're going to see some about that tonight, all right? God's not done with the Jews, all right? Now, I will say this. Much of the mistreatment that has befallen them, they brought it upon themselves. They brought it upon themselves. He said, "Preacher, why do you say something like that?" Take your Bible. Let's go to Matthew chapter 27, all right? Matthew chapter 27. Now, I'm not saying, and I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that the Jews killed in the Holocaust got what they deserved. Please don't ever quote me and say that. That is not true. That is not true. Don't believe that at all. But you say, well, what happened? Matthew chapter 27, if you will, look with me there in verse 25. All right? All right? Well, let's go to verse 24. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather that a tumult was made, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." But you look at the next verse. Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Listen, when they made that statement, God sometimes gives you what you ask for. Now, I've always tried to caution people, be careful what you pray for. Because God may say yes, God may give it to you. And you need to seek His will when you pray. I've heard some of these turkeys on the radio and say, well, you ought not to pray if it be your will. I would strongly encourage you to pray, if it be your will, all right? Because, man, sometimes we get what we ask for, and we wind up saying, why did I ask for that, okay? Why did I want that? Well, so when they made that, I just want you to know, for the 1900 years now, since that day, they've been killed. They've been kicked all over the world, all right? All around the world, they've been slaughtered. They've been mistreated. They've been taken advantage of, right? Driven all over the world, but they've also been driven back to Palestine. They've been driven back to that land. And that was the purpose and the plan of God, all right? I want you to go with me to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, if you will. Look at verse 25. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. See, it was in the plan of God that God's people would come back to that land. And there's a lot of scripture in the Old Testament and about the return of Israel to the land and the return of the Jews to Israel and the Palestine area. So, but I want you to look there, if you will, in Romans chapter 11. And let's take up reading in verse 25. "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." The fullness, hey, blindness is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And verse 26, "And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake." Now, you need to remember that. That's in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul said, hey, blindness has happened to them until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Well, the time of the Gentiles is rapidly coming to a close, all right? Rapidly coming to a close. I've told you before, in the tribulation period, God's dealing with Israel. He's not dealing with the Gentiles. Now, they're going to be going through all the problems, and they're going to be suffering just like everybody else. But the whole reason for it is God dealing with Israel. And that's the reason I say to you, believe the church, we're not going to be here. We're going to be gone, because that is not the purpose of the tribulation, to deal with us. It's going to be to deal with Israel, all right? And that's when he says, all Israel shall be saved, all right? Because, as it written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, all right? That day is coming, all right? Conversion is coming for the nation of Israel, all right? Now you say, when's it going to be? I believe it's there, and we'll turn back maybe to Revelation 12, where we read when we started. Probably said, why did we read? We hadn't said a word about it. Well, we're coming back, all right? We're going to get there, all right? We're going to get there. I believe the events talked about here, I believe they're going to be near the midpoint of the tribulation period, okay? I believe that for several reasons, all right? One, I believe it's going to be about the midpoint because we know the Antichrist is going to make a covenant with the Jews. He's going to make a covenant with the Jews at the beginning and, seem to be on their side. The temple's going to be rebuilt. They'll institute temple worship again. But he's going to break that covenant with them. And I believe that it's going to be around the middle of the tribulation when he's going to do that. But also, I believe they're going to be converted because remember what we talked about last Wednesday night? We talked about the two witnesses, all right? Those two witnesses are going to be, for 3.5 years, they're going to testify and witness, and they're going to point people to Jesus Christ, and nobody's going to be able to stop them. If you try to stop them, we looked at it, they're going to be able to kill that opposition. Until their time is finished, they're going to be indestructible. They're going to be indestructible. You see, I believe through all of that witnessing, I believe that's going to come, and the Jews are going to begin to understand, hey, we killed our Messiah, okay? And so we read here in Revelation chapter 12, when the dragon saw that he was cast into earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Now, that man-child is the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And that woman is Israel. It's not Mary, okay? It is talking about the nation of Israel that brought forth that man-child, brought forth the Savior of the world, and the Bible said that woman's going to flee, all right? They're going to flee into the wilderness, and they're going to stay there. There, if you will, in verse 6, all right, of chapter 12, the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. All right, in verse 14 it says it's going to be for a time, times and half a time. All right, that time is 1 year, times is 2 years, and half a time is half a year. All right, so 3.5 years. By the way, if you count up 1,260 days, that's 3.5 years. All right. So they're going to flee into the wilderness. They're going to have to flee because Satan is going after them. But I want you to notice where we read there in verse 6, is a place prepared. A place prepared of God. Now, you said, well, where's that going to be? Place God prepares for. It's going to be a place prepared. Now, I've heard all my life, even when I was a little kid, people taught that it's going to be the rose red city of Petra. Okay? Will it be there? Not positive. Might be. Might be. Could be. All right? I've often thought, is it big enough to house the people? I don't know. But I know this, the Bible says it's a place God prepared, and if God prepared it, it'll be adequate. Okay? It'll be adequate. He prepared a table for them in the wilderness. He can prepare a place for them in the tribulation period, all right? And God's promise to protect her for 3.5 years, all right? That is the promise of God. Now, here's the situation, though. I want you to go back to Zechariah chapter 13, Old Testament, all right? Zechariah, next to the last book in the Old Testament, all right? Zechariah chapter 13. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, all right? If you're in Haggai, you're almost there. If you're in Malachi, you missed it. Back up, okay? Zechariah chapter 13, all right? I want you to notice what the Bible says, all right? And it shall come, this is in verse 8. Would be good if I'd tell you that, right? It says, and it shall come to pass in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. I believe the Bible's telling us only one third of the Jewish population is going to survive and be converted. The other two thirds are going to die. As I was reading in preparation, fellow said, if the Lord came back right now, then two thirds of the Jews in the nation in the world today would die, but a third of them are going to be saved. All right. Now that is a whole lot. There are millions of Jewish people in this world. Okay, they're going to be converted. Now, oftentimes when we get to this kind of thing, people say, well, God's just going to zap, and they'll all be converted, a wave of the magic wand. No. Well, how is it going to take place? What is that process of conversion? Now, I don't believe conversion is a process, all right? But I couldn't come up with a better word. I couldn't figure out the word I wanted to use here, all right? And I could have said the how of conversion, I guess. But so how's it going to be? Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12. Would you look in verse 10? Verse 10. The Bible said, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Say, how's it going to take place? First of all, it's going to take place through the grace of God. Grace of God. Notice there it says the Spirit of grace. Spirit of grace. God's grace is going to do it. Friend, I got news for you. Man cannot do without the grace of God. You and I can't do without God's grace. There is no salvation apart from the grace of God. It is not something we deserve. I can't tell you how many times when I pray, I'll ask God for something. I say, now, Lord, I know we don't deserve it, but would you give it to us? Would you help us, all right? Would you help us? It's all through the grace of God, all right? We don't deserve salvation. Nobody does. Those Jews that have rejected him for centuries, that nation that's rejected him, don't deserve it, but God's grace is going to be extended to them, all right? That grace is there, and I'm glad it is sufficient, all right? It is sufficient. Take your Bible, and let's go to the book of Ezekiel. We're still there in the Old Testament. There's a lot of verses that talk about the conversion of Israel. So if you would, look with me in Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20. And when you get that, I want you to go to the book of Hosea. All right, Hosea. Now, they're fairly close together, all right? If you get to Joel, you've gone too far, back up, all right? So I want you to have your Bible open at Ezekiel chapter 20 and Hosea chapter 14, all right? Hosea chapter 14, Ezekiel chapter 20, all right? Look here, if you will, with me. Ezekiel chapter 20, look, if you will, at verse 41. Verse 41, and I will accept you with your sweet savor when I bring you out from the people and gather you out of the countries wherein you have been scattered, and I will be sanctified in you before the heathen. Drop on down to verse 43, and there shall ye remember your ways and all your doings wherein you have been defiled, and ye shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that ye have committed. Now go with me to the book of Hosea chapter 14. Hosea chapter 14. Look with me in verse 1. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. I want you to notice there, especially in verse 2, take with you words and turn to the Lord. Go back there again and notice in verse 43 of Ezekiel 20, there shall ye remember your ways and all your doings wherein ye have been defiled, and ye shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that ye have committed. You say, what's talking about, preacher? I believe with all my heart. Well, the Bible's talking about repentance. Repentance. Hey, you said, how's the nation going to be converted? It's going to be the grace of God. It's going to be through repentance. They're going to come. They're going to repent. I'll remind you, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here on this earth, told the nation of Israel in Luke chapter 13, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. All right? That is a necessity, all right? Now, here's the problem. The great problem today is the average Jew, and truthfully, not just the Jew, it's the average person in this world, doesn't see himself as a sinner. Average person today does not see himself as a sinner. They think that their righteousness is good enough. Their righteousness is good enough. In other words, what I can do. Man, I don't know how many people I have tell me when I'm out trying to witness to folks and out knocking on doors and tell me, well, I know I'm going to heaven, or I believe I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person and I do these good things. Well, all of that tells me, hey, I don't believe I'm really a sinner. I'm good enough to get to heaven on my own. On my own. Hey, when you get that, there's a problem. Because you'll never get saved until you realize you're a sinner. You're a sinner. Really, that's the place you try to start. That's the place I try to start. If I'm witnessing somebody, I let them know, hey, you're a sinner. You're a sinner. You're lost. You're without God. And now, I don't make any bones about it. I say, so am I. So am I. But people today don't want to admit that. We live in a time where, hey, we live in a day when people justify anything. They'll justify anything. They can justify what they've done and how they do things, and it's okay. It is okay. We've had riots. We had riots back in, January or 2020, I guess. There were riots, man, people rioting and, you know, kicking in stores, stealing things, looting the whole store, setting fire to them, and all those people said, we're okay, that's not that big a deal. It's okay. We can do it. They can justify it. Hey, these people are oppressing us. Look, we can justify. We think, I'm free. I'm not guilty. But you've got to realize you're guilty. And the Bible presents a picture here in Ezekiel and in Hosea of folks admitting what they are and willing to say, I'm going to turn from that, okay? I'm ready to turn from that and get away from it. They needed to repent. Hey, that repentance, all right, is going to be accompanied by mourning. Back in Zechariah chapter 12, all right? Zechariah chapter 12. Notice what it says in verse 10. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. The Bible said, and I will pour upon the house of Israel and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and he shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Verse 11, in that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadadrimmon in the valley of Megiddon, and the land shall mourn, every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart, all the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. I want you to notice we're talking about mourning, all right? Mourning, nationwide mourning. The Bible talks about here about nationwide mourning, talks about mourning among a family. I believe it also gives an indication there's going to be individual mourning, all right? That ought to be there. That there ought to be that in repentance. There ought to be some mourning, okay? There ought to be some sorrow for sin. And I believe how they're going to be converted, they're going to be converted by the grace of God through repentance, and repentance that accompanied by mourning. The Bible said they're going to look upon him whom they have pierced. They're going to realize, hey, we killed the Messiah. We killed the Messiah. All right? Now, I just want to interject this because there's some folks that want to blame the Jews for killing Jesus. Just remember this. If he hadn't have died, you'd have no hope of heaven. All right? So don't you get all, you know, don't let somebody work you up and get you worked themselves. We need to go after them Jews. They killed. Hey, it's a good thing the Lord Jesus Christ died. And by the way, he gave his life. He gave his life so he could save us, all right? So repentance accompanied with mourning. Not only that, look in Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. If you're in Hosea a while ago, right after Hosea is the book of Joel. Joel chapter 2, verse 32, all right? Joel chapter 2, verse 32 said, how are they going to be saved? Here's how they're going to be saved. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Said, how are they going to get saved? They're going to get saved by calling on the name of the Lord. That's how they're going to get saved. That's the conversion right there. You call on the name of the Lord. Hey, you remember when you got saved? That's what you did. That's what you did. You called on the name of the Lord, all right? Now, the result is forgiveness. Forgiveness. Look in the book of Micah. After Jonah, Obadiah, Jonah, book of Micah. Micah chapter 7. What a wonderful, wonderful promise. Micah chapter 7, verse 19. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities and will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Oh, what a marvelous, marvelous promise, and what an amazingly beautiful picture that is, that all of our sins are going to be cast in the depths of the sea. That's the sin of those folks, be cast in the depths of the sea. Now, I just want to tell you something, Dick. The sea is really deep in some places. There's an area called the Marianas Trench in the Pacific. It's nearly 7 miles deep, right? And that's why it's real hard to swim there. The water's so deep. That's what kids think. Kids think, I can't swim there. It's too deep. Well, if you can swim, you can swim, all right? But that deep, that's the picture. The picture that the Lord gives is, hey, those sins, the nation of Israel, through the grace of God, through repentance, and accompanied by mourning, calling upon the name of the Lord, they're going to get forgiveness of their sin. That's why. It is not going to be done without their permission. It's not going to be forced upon them. They're going to call. They're going to trust the Lord. Now listen, that great tribulation is going to be a terrible time for everybody. For everybody. It's going to be a time of judgment for the unsaved. That's Jew and Gentile alike. All the things you read there in the book of Revelation, all the terror and the suffering, that's judgment for the sin, all right? And it's going to be on the unsaved Jew and the unsaved Gentile, all right? But now, for the saved, is going to be a time of purifying. Look, if you will, in Zechariah one more time, okay? Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13, look, if you will, down in verse 9. Notice what the Bible says, and I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. The Lord is my God. Listen, it's going to be a time, it's going to be a hard time, it's going to be a time of judgment for the lost, but it'll be a time of purifying for those that are saved. The Bible talks about refining them through the fire, okay? Through the fire. Now, in this present age, suffering still tests the faith of man. Still tests the faith of man. Go back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, if you will, over in the New Testament. We'll start in the New Testament. We'll finish in the New Testament. Romans chapter 5, look at verse 3. The Apostle Paul says, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Hey, we may have to suffer some in this age. Suffering still tests our faith, all right? It strengthens us. Now, I'm the first guy to raise my hand and say, I don't enjoy it. I don't like it. But sometimes God uses that to mold us. God does those things to strengthen our faith, to make us the Christian He wants us to be. We don't always understand it. We don't always say, well, yeah, I can accept. Hey, we just have to endure it, okay? We just have to endure what the Lord allows us to go through. But it's there for a reason, all right? It's there for a reason. Now, we can stand the test and remain true to our Savior. We don't have to give up, all right? There's some things we need to do. You said, preacher, you teaching this, and you're preaching this to us, what's the purpose? Well, there's some things we must do. Number one, we ought to pray. We ought to pray. Our Bible says pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We ought to pray for them. We're to pray. We're to spend some time praying. We're to ask God to do something. And by the way, not just for us. There's nothing wrong with praying for your needs. Nothing wrong for that. Don't misunderstand me. But when you pray, don't just pray for yourself. Don't just pray for yourself. Pray for others. Oh, especially pray for the lost. Pray they'll get saved. Pray that the light would break through. I told you, in this day and age, it's more and more difficult, I think, to win people, because people are not willing to admit they're lost. And we've got a lot of religion. There's a great deal of religion, but they're not saved. I talk to people that go to, oftentimes, it's not just mega churches. I go to churches and you ask them about, you know, their salvation, and, well, I'm okay because I do this or I do that and I do that. I go, man, well, what happened to Jesus? Why did he die on the cross? It is amazing to me how many people will tell me, I'm going to heaven because I'm good and I try to do right. And when I ask them, well, why did Jesus die? They said, to pay for my sin. Wait a minute. Said, what's the problem? There's a disconnect. They've heard the truth, but it's never penetrated them. All right? Never penetrated through to them. Pray. Pray. Next thing you ought to do, you ought to give. You ought to give. You said, why? Well, to give the mission. Or to give the missions. We can't go everywhere. We can't. I could go to, I guess I could afford maybe a trip to somewhere, but I'd get there and I'd be up the creek. Last time I tried to speak Spanish, it was kind of dangerous. And I have had several years of Spanish, all right, in school. Took 2 years of French in college. I can't even order fluently at a French restaurant now. I can order fluently at Taco Bell, all right? But so that Spanish wasn't entirely wasted, okay? But I'm just telling you, we can give. And in purse, we can go around the world. But not only that, yep, we ought to go. We ought to go. We need to pray. We need to give. We need to go. That's what we need to do. Why? Because I believe Lord's return is very soon. Very soon. I believe that this time is just any moment. Any moment the Lord could come. And now's the time, all right? Don't waste it. Don't waste it, all right? Heavenly Father, I pray you'd meet with us. Lord, help us to realize the truth of the Word of God. And Lord, we'd understand the Bible, and it would give us a sense of urgency.